Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about Memorial Day today at this point, because that's my message. Thank you very much. I'm standing back. I'm like, I told Pat, I said, seriously, she's using the same reference. One of them, anyhow. I'm like, this is the second time she started preaching my message before I got up here. But let me tell you, folks, this is it's a good thing. God is good. He's not done in you. He's not done in me. He's not done on this planet. The reason that Jesus hasn't returned yet is because God is still holding out hope against hope. That things, that people, I should say, are going to come to know him. All right. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. Lord God, I thank you, first off, that many farmers are being able to get out and sow their seed and plant their crops. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, we pray right now that you bless them in that endeavor, bless this country. Lord, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord, I pray that you bless it back to the giver. You do according to your word. We call it as a testament. We stand. This is the only thing you said to try you in. And we will do it and watch what you will do for us. And I receive it on your behalf and bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so junior church is dismissed, and you may be seated. I need my agua. Thank you. Yes, they are at that age, aren't they? Carter let out. I'm like, dude. Oh, well. It didn't bother God. I'll just promise you that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, today, obviously, this weekend is about Memorial Day. It's not about celebrating those of us who've lived through the military, but those who have paid a sacrifice. They gave their lives for something I believe many of them believed in. This weekend, I saw a thing that came up as, you know, many of my friends started posting things about the death tolls of the wars back to the Civil War in this country. And, you know, World War II really is a smack to this country. Over 400,000 men and even women were killed in 4 years. That's over 100,000 a year. And, you know, and right off the bat, I mean, many of them went in voluntarily, and then the government got the bright idea, we'll draft. I personally am against the draft because you're putting people who don't want to do something in a position they aren't going to be able to do because they don't really believe in what they're doing. And ever since Vietnam, and that one kind of proved what I just said, but ever since Vietnam, and I know many good men and women who went in, particularly young men, who were drafted, and they went, and they served their country honorably. But shortly thereafter, the draft wasn't as necessary. We still say that it's there. It's why we have the selective service. But the truth of the matter is, our wars now are fought by people, volunteers. Now, this is where I take a stand on conscientious objectors who joined the military. You joined. You knew the job. Don't tell me you now object. You weren't drafted. But in World War II, I think the actual number is like 450,000. That's 450,000 men who were killed. And we wonder what started happening to this country. Fathers who were drafted and got killed. Didn't get to raise their children. Their sons and their daughters didn't know them. Their sons and daughters would go on to have to fight a Vietnam War. And these men, I am amazed every time I read a story where a 14-year-old lied about his age and enlisted. I mean, I can promise you today, we don't have 14-year-olds who are willing or ready to do that. They think they are on Halo or Call of Duty. That's why I've never been a big proponent of worrying about, oh, you got great hand-eye or coordination. You know, you can play a video game. You're Rambo. It's a different story when the bullets are real and you hear the crack. Because if you're close enough to hear the bullet crack the air, he just missed you. And, but this country was built by volunteers. They volunteered to give up their homes, their lives, for a dream. A dream that their children could have liberty. We call it freedom today. It's really, freedom is really a messed up word for it. It's liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. Liberty means I am at my discretion. Freedom means I can go to as far as out. Somebody's going to let me go. When we were released on liberty over the weekends, we could do pretty much what we wanted within the law. Those that didn't, well, we heard about them Monday morning. But Paul told us in Romans 13, verse 7. He said, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. The last part's the one we want to look at. Honor. Well, the honorable so-and-so. Well, what makes them honorable? Are they upholding what is right and just? Are they upholding the law that they have swore? We're talking particularly in that case, judges. Do we really know what honor is today? I was just reading in Leviticus, and it said, you rise when someone of gray hair or an older man comes into the room. Get off your butt. I wasn't raised that way. And to my shame, it got dropped. Because my grandpa didn't teach my dad. And my dad didn't teach us. And I didn't teach my children. Doesn't mean I don't respect my elders. But it does mean that I miss something out of honor. Now, I'm not saying that to live by according to the law. I can't live by the law. If I live by the law and I break one law, I'm guilty of the whole thing. I may have trimmed my beard today. But if I trimmed my beard, I just violated the law. And according to the law, I just might as well have slept with another man's wife. Because I violated it all. But I don't honor because the law tells me to honor. I don't honor the flag because somebody told me. Pat gave me a really neat article, and I read it, in which General Mattis had said, he's talking about flag burning, by the way, touchy subject with veterans, but he said, you want to cure flag burners? He said, don't give them jail. Make them do 2 years in the military. He said, they'll either come out waving the flag, saluting the flag, or under the flag. They will learn a respect for what that means. Those stars and stripes don't represent slavery. They don't represent oppression. They represent the dreams of all of us. Without those, we're nothing. It's kind of, I read the article a little bit further, and it compared the flag to the wedding band, where you took a man and a woman and you joined them in matrimony. We took a Declaration of Independence and connected it with a Constitution, and the flag is the symbol that represents that. That's why it's so offensive. Now, I read in that article also that in 1989, Congress passed a law that protected the flag burner. And now in boot camp, I'm going to tell you straight up, I was told they have that right now. However, you have the right to put the fire out. That is it. That is actually what the law read. I did not believe it until I read it. The law states, that flag amendment states, I have a right to protect the flag. Not that they necessarily have the right to burn it, but I have the right to protect it. This is mamby-pamby, wishy-washy people dealing with stuff. Our forefathers never meant for the flag to be burned. They did not intend for any of this to be happening the way it's happening. People are trying to please people. The Bible tells us in the end, we're going to be, oh, just tickle your ears. Somebody says, well, I'm a girl. Dude, seriously. You got chest hair. And not just one or two. You look like a bear. Don't tell me you're a girl competing in weightlifting in the women's competition. World record holder. Y'all seen the things, haven't you? World record weightlifting. No kidding. It's a guy. We're built a little different than women if you guys ain't figured that out, right? Now I realize there's some pretty muscular women. But they're still women. World record track. Well, typically men have been faster. Although I've known a few women that could smoke some guys that thought they were fast. But the point being, we're now in a country that is vomiting on the sacrifice of over 400,000 Americans. Because we don't want to do what's right and what's smart by right. Everybody wants to create a whole new revolution. I think Jesse was telling me the other day, and I heard this too. Many of you know who Trevor Noah is. He's a liberal comedian, or thinks he's funny, on Comedy Channel or one of those channels. Anyhow, he came out and he said, President Trump is the only president to keep his campaign promises. Now, they were meaning that in a bad way. I'm like, hallelujah, he's keeping his promises. Of course he's not a politician. He's a businessman. He's got an end in mind. But we've allowed, well, we got all these different genders now. No, there's still only two genders. Your DNA will not lie. It's only going to identify one or the other, not a mix. Well, God is offensive to me. Well, he said he would be. He said, I am the rock of offense. So why do we apologize for being Christians? Oh, I'm sorry if that offends you. I don't care if it offends you. Now listen, I don't put a lot of stuff on Facebook because, one, I'm trying not to alienate people. There's a lot of things I see people put on, and I'm like, I totally agree with that. But in my position, I got to be a little careful. Okay? I can't, like I said, there's sometimes if I told you what I actually thought about something, you'd shiver. But I don't. Because I can only go so far. But we have become so worried about, just because I don't share what something you put on there, don't mean I'm ashamed to post it, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why am I going to put it on there where only the people I select can hear it? How about if I live my life like Jesus Christ is my Lord? How about people know I'm a Christian by my love, by my actions? That's how they're supposed to know, not because I've got a great big fish on the back of my car with a cross in it. And if you got one, that's not aimed towards you. It's just, I remember seeing the finger come out of a car with a great big one on the back of it one day. I'm like, oh yeah, that's real Christ-like. Tell them they're number one. Yes, Jesus is the only way. Oh, that's the wrong finger. But when we give honor, how do we give honor to these men and women who have died for this country? I don't care what the story was in Iraq and why the whole point in it, in it to begin with. My personal opinion, I should have went to Iraq. Okay? We should never have backed out. We should have turned that country into a parking lot. Give you just a little glimpse inside my brain. We shouldn't have stopped in 1990. That's my opinion. That and a buck and a half will get you a coffee down the road. Don't go to Starbucks, though. They're five. The people who have sacrificed their lives even today are still doing it for our way of life. Whether or not the Quran says to kill all infidels, whether or not these people, listen, there's Muslims that have lived for centuries amongst people peacefully. These are just flat out nut jobs. I'm not politically correct if you haven't figured that out. They are crazies. They don't care. They will strap bombs to their children. You need to understand, this is what the Viet Cong did. They do not care about human life. It means nothing to them. That is why they turn their daughters into prostitution. In Asian countries, that is not uncommon for a daughter to be turned out into prostitution while she's trying to go to college. So all you college-age girls and girls, that's how you'd have got through college. If you survived that. And your daddy would have got maybe $100 or something for you. Which, by the way, Leviticus says, do not prostitute your daughter. Now, how do we honor them? Well, I'm going to go to a ceremony. I'm going to listen to somebody talk about freedom and the price. I'm going to listen to taps be played. See, I heard taps nearly every day for 4 years. Because it was played when the flag came down. But when you're at a memorial service, taps means something else. It means I'm going to have a picnic with my family. It means I'm going to wear my Stars and Stripes shirt. It means I'm going to tell people Merry Christmas and God loves you. It means I'm going to live the life they died to give me. I've seen several shirts and I've often wanted to go up and say something, but these type of people are very confrontational that says, don't thank me, thank those who didn't make it. I can't. They're dead. But I can say thank you to those who know what it took. The other day I came out of Menards and I was parked there and this older guy is standing there leaning on the back of his car. He was just putting in little bags of potting soil. And I don't know if he identified me right off the bat coming out the store and knew where I was heading, but he was parked right beside me. And he said, so you're a jarhead, huh? I said, yes, sir. I said, when did you serve? He said, 67, 68, and 69. He said, all of it in Vietnam. You know, and we went about our little way, and I was standing there putting my stuff up. You know, Marines, if you don't know, you'll sometimes maybe hear me say Semper Fi Marine or something like that. You'll hear it. Which, by the way, and it's not a slam against the Army, but the head general several years ago of the Army said, I wish the Army were like Marines. He said, they are a brotherhood to the end. He said, the Army doesn't greet each other afterwards. He said, Marines, they go out of their way. This guy stood there in the heat to say Semper Fi. And after I loaded my stuff and he was heading, you know, walking around the trunk of his car, I had to push my cart over to the thing, because if you're a good person, you're going to do that. If not, you will be the one with the buggy in the side of your car one of these days. And as I, as we were passing, the Holy Spirit had already told me, tell him welcome home. I've told a few guys that, and it just, you know, I guess maybe they've become scarred over. But this guy, he'd already gotten his car. I had to walk over to the thing, walk back to my truck, get in my truck, start my truck, and he was still sitting there. See, little things like that mean something to somebody. Two words. He was thrilled with Semper Fi, but welcome home. See, we allowed, and by the way, a lot of that stuff was totally politically driven. CIA should never have been created. Politicians should never have got in. You let the generals do what they're supposed to do, and war will end in a month. I can promise you. We would have had Bin Laden a long time ago. But anyhow, I saw that other shirt and I thought, don't thank me. Thank those. Listen, folks, I was asked to pray for somebody who's already dead. What do you pray? One, they've already been dead for a week. They entered eternity right then. The time for praying is over. People do not get the finality of death. That's it. You're going to your judge. You will stand before God. And if you get up there to the gate, as we always teach, and Peter's up there and he says, your name's not on it. Again, that's total joke lore history. Then you don't go in. Your name has to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got a lost family member? You better start praying now while they're still alive. Go to them if they're on their deathbed. Well, I don't want no deathbed salvation. Seriously? I'd rather they be saved for 5 seconds on this planet and enter eternity. But so many people look down on, well, they just got saved because they were dying. Well, no kidding, Einstein. They suddenly realized, I've been around a couple people who were dying. I really wanted to know what they were seeing. Some of them were seeing some things. Some of them not so good. I really wanted to know what they were seeing. What did you see? I heard Oral Roberts was singing praises when he went. What did you see coming? Did you see a fiery chariot? I know when God sends one for me, it's going to have to be on fire. I'm like, no. We don't need this floating stuff. Give me the, angel, give me the reins. Doggone it. I spent how many years down there? I want to drive this thing. That's just a guy thing. You ladies know that. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. Now today, you do not have to die to lay your life down. So many people today, oh, I think my life would be better if I just martyred. What good, if you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, does dying right now help? It doesn't serve anybody but your romantic image of what's going to happen. I believe people that get martyred, unless they were in a country where it's coming in, but people go. I heard one person went to Israel and said, oh, wouldn't it be so special if we were martyred in Israel? Would you fall out of the stupid tree and hit every branch on the way down? Did God tell you to go to Israel? I personally don't. I mean, I'd like to go sometime, but it's not a draw for me. It's not where my ancestors hail from. I don't have to see an empty hole in the ground to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I don't need to see a temple that's been built in a cave where he was supposedly born. I don't need to see all that stuff to believe. Would it be neat? Oh, absolutely. I didn't go to the Congo when I was invited to go to preach over there because the Holy Spirit said, that's not your call. I had no burning. I went to Ukraine, kind of pushed it. Well, I'll step out in faith. Maybe God's opening it. Nope. That is not what God had for me. If I'd have died over there, it wouldn't have been for the gospel's sake. It was because I was stupid. And thought, I got to do it because preachers are telling me I need to go out. Do the work of an evangelist. Paul told Timothy that in a private letter. Just because we took it and ran with it and told every preacher that's got a church, you need to be an evangelist. No, I'm preaching to a room of evangelists. I would rather each one of you be able to influence one life. Other than that, that's my job. But no greater love. This always comes up this time of the year. I can promise you this, ladies and gentlemen. The men and women who have died for this country didn't do it to die. There's a little saying goes, it is not my job to die for my country. It is my job to make the other guy die for his. And that is that. They didn't go to die. We weren't taught how to die. Do you realize that? No branch teaches their people how to die. They teach us how to fight, to win. Well, that ain't fair. That's against the Geneva Conventions. Well, you tell Geneva to come on down here and you regulate this war, but they're cheating. I'll play by the rules until you cheat. You cheat and nobody calls it, I'm cheating. It's obviously fair, right? Doesn't always work out that way, though, does it? You're the one's going to get called. But no greater love. So when today, these men and women who have died from the beginning, from the Revolutionary War up until today, they sacrificed their bodies so that you and I could live. To show how much they loved. I know when my four or five greats grandfather came from Scotland and fought in the Revolutionary War, I was always bummed out. And my family just probably came over in the 1800s or something like that, maybe 1900, I don't know. We didn't even know what country we came from. Until we found out, you know, the internet can be a good thing. We found other family members who already had most of the history. And we found out where we connect and goes back. And I had a great, 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 great grandfather who fought in the Revolutionary War. He left Scotland to come to a new land. New opportunities, right? Only to be faced with the same garbage. Tyrannical king, abuse of power, taxation without representation. And they said, do you want to fight? He said, absolutely. And he fought. He didn't fight so that, you know, he could be a war hero. He fought so that maybe someday one of his descendants could stand up in front of a congregation and try to help them understand how much Jesus loved them. That's why he did it. That's why they did it in World War II, World War I, and even Vietnam. That's why they're doing it today. They're not doing it because they want to kill. People that want to kill, they go out and they want to, they have a mental deficiency. They usually are a little bit psychotic. I've only known a couple of them. But today, we can show love for each other by laying down our own life. Not in combat. Maybe it's you didn't go to jazzercise one day and you went somewhere and helped somebody else. You did something for somebody else. You talked to them. You know, most of the time you just need to listen. That's what I've learned about this job, because God knows I'm not Solomon. Sometimes you just need to listen. This Memorial Day, remember why you can get together with friends and family. And you're not speaking German or Japanese or North Korean or Arabic. Women, why you're not under Sharia law. Because in this country, in this room, I dare even say, there's red-blooded Americans who will stand for our Constitution, which is what gives us the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Don't get yourself all bent up about Colin Kaepernick. He's gas in the wind. He already is. The only time we hear about him is when he needs some money. Let him go. If the church would quit making martyrs out of these other people, we wouldn't see half the garbage. How many of you saw the tweet by Jim Carrey the other day about the governor of Alabama should have been aborted when she was a baby? He painted a picture and tweeted this and said, you should have been aborted when you were a baby, and had her head on it with the brains being sucked out, connected to a baby's body. The pro-life movement jumped on it and said, thank you for accurately showing what an abortion does. He's such a moron that in his expression, he decided he wanted to attack what God is doing. I don't know if their law is going to hold. We can pray that it will. And honestly, I think if more of the states had the cojones to do what needed to be done, and these people would say, you know what? We're going for the whole hog. What are you going to do with 49 states that don't want it? 48, because California and New York are. What about 48 states who don't want to follow you? We're the majority. Try to take it away. There's only 7 of you on that Supreme Court. I read something where Dwight D. Eisenhower said, I've made 2 mistakes in my political career as president. Both of them are on the Supreme Court. This is why we need to pray for our justices. I believe President Trump has put some good people in there, but they will bow to pressures and the word of the law. Nowhere was abortion protected. Nowhere is burning the flag an expression of speech. I believe it was Tommy Lasorda said it. He said, if you need to know what speech is, it means talking. Well, if it's in written form, that's called press. But nowhere is freedom of expression. You have a right to assemble peacefully. You burn a flag? Well, I've never seen a fire be anything peaceful. Have you? This weekend, folks, enjoy your time. Do not feel guilt and condemnation because, well, we're nobody in our family is serving. You're celebrating and you're thanking those by living a life, pursuing your dreams. If you just stop and fall for what the status quo, well, this is all that I can ever have. Well, if you're to where you are full, let's get this understand, where you are full, where you're here and you're full, then maintain it. Well, God's got a mountain for me to climb. Where's it at? I don't know, but I'm going. God told you to leave? No, I'm just going to go look for it. Just stop. I don't take a step unless God's told me to. I didn't sell our house without God leading me to do it, because I just told God 2 months before, I'm done. I'm happy. I'm content. I'm staying. And then one day, boop. Hey, let's go look at this cabin. Why are we looking at a cabin? But God began leading us. But ladies and gentlemen, we live in a free country. Nobody can tell you you can't say Merry Christmas. They get offended, tough stuff. They can get over it. We're all so offended. Well, you offend me, Pastor. Good. That means I'm in good company, because my Savior said, I'm going to offend you. How about that? Should I say anything about Wednesday? Okay. I will say it just to spare any rumors and anybody getting their panties in a wad. Some time ago, my wife came to me and said, you know what, honey, I want you to wear your wedding ring. Now, those of you who know me know why I didn't wear my wedding ring. I like my fingers. I like my body. The last time I had worn it, about pulled me off of a roof. It got hooked on the metal roof. And I took it off and put it in my pocket, and that was that. And some time ago, she said, you know what? God has showed me what it means in the Word about the law, and I understand now. She said, if you want to get a tattoo on your ring finger, that's fine. Okay, so I started investigating them, finding out about them. Well, I found out they don't last, and you might as well save your money. So God told her, she said, because it was always her problem with it, not mine. She didn't like it, and I didn't do it because I loved her. People need to understand it. Not whipped. I loved her. Love her. Let me clarify. That is active love, not past tense. But anyhow, she said, God told her, he said, well, if you were okay with a ring finger, then why not let him get what he wants? And so she came and said, if you'll wear your ring, your wedding ring, when you're not working, when I have not taken it off, because I'm going to tell you right now, 20 pounds means a lot. This thing used to be loose, and it don't come off real easy. But anyhow, so I'd made an appointment, things fell through, and then I had to make another appointment, and the other day, I have Semper Fidelis and Eagle Globe and Anchor. So I just wanted to get that out. Because you will see me in sleeveless shirts. You're going, but Leviticus 19 says, thou shalt not tattoo thyself. It also says you shouldn't shave your beard either, or shave the side of your heads. So tell me which law you want to pick and choose on what you want to obey. You break one, you might as well sleep with your neighbor's wife. Because that's how God viewed it. He was trying to make a point to all these people that you can't live by law, but by love. I loved her enough not to. We weren't even married. She just asked me, Don't get a tattoo. Well, we're assuming I'm going to survive this, so okay. But because she loved me, she became, she let the Holy Spirit reveal to her the truth. Now, I'm not saying go out and go getting a bunch of weird stuff tattooed. You better know what you're putting on your body. Amen. People going out and getting witchcraft symbols and stuff. Well, this means long life. Yeah, in Wicca. I know a few of you got some things on you. Praise God. I never condemned anybody. By the way, it really didn't hurt. Like a little sunburn. Somebody scratching a sunburn for an hour and a half. But anyhow, I wanted to say that. Because I'm not going to have people running around rumors and talking, well, I don't think you should, I'm against it. I don't really care. I don't live by the law. It has nothing to do with anything else other than law, and that's the only place you will find it. Because, by the way, I pointed out that in Revelation, John is describing what he sees, and Jesus comes back and it says, written upon his thigh, not his robe, his thigh, says King of Kings. And I don't know why, but every time I've seen those, you ever see those cartoons with angel warfare and stuff? And one, he's got some big angels. I mean, these dudes have got muscles that, but they all had markings on them. Which I will tell you, watch, if you decide a tribal, find out what it means. Tribal tattoos meant something. But, so that's out. So you won't be shocked at the picnic. Well, it's my body, his temple, but and if that's the case, then boy, he's got something else he wants to take up with me. All right. So this weekend, love your family, love your friends, enjoy the time with them, but remember why you have it. It's for those who died. Those of us living, we have November 11th. Monday is about those who have passed on. Amen? All right, let's stand. Okay. So I see everybody survived the hurricane yesterday. I don't know. Well, no, yesterday was worse. I was out there by my deck taking some measurements. I started getting hit with tree limbs. And I look up, and my big trees, I'm waiting for one of the big limbs to come. I mean, they're just doubling over. We didn't get much rain, but boy, we got that wind. And Angela said they got it here, and it just came straight out through there. I don't know if a tornado was developing overhead or, but it was. It was interesting. Jesse and I, we were standing inside looking out the window. I said, I saw a video on this last week. I said, next thing you know, you can't see nothing because there's a tornado out there. But I'd already told it can't touch my house in Jesus' name. And 10 minutes later, wind's done. So, all right, let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your merciful love, Lord God, that you love us unconditionally, that no matter how stupid we do things or what we may think or say, Father, you still love us. Father, that in all that we've done, Father, may we remember to honor not only the men and women who have died in this country, but we remember those who have gone on before preaching the gospel, who were martyred, whose bodies were sacrificed so that this gospel could keep moving. Lord, I pray right now that you set your angels round about each and every missionary in this country, from this country and other countries and in this country. Lord God, protect them. Help them to get through the message of your love to the people that they're trying to reach. And now, Father, may we remember always the price that it cost for us to be Americans. Father, may we remember to honor them by standing for the flag, by standing for our anthem, for looking out for those who have paid those prices. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for them. Lord, we pray for those who have lost their family, their loved ones in these last years. Father, we pray that you help them as the wounds are still very fresh. And now, Lord, I thank you for these people. Father, I pray that you set your angels round about them this week. Father, protect them as they go with their houses. Protect them as they go to their families and their friends, Lord God. Lead them and guide them in all truth. And Father, I thank you and praise you that they are gaining understanding of your love and your mercy each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.